Revelation 7, beginning at verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Hello, redeemed. As the father of teenagers, I may have heard the question, "Who wants to go to heaven if all they ever do there is sing?" While heaven sounds appealing to them and they want to spend eternity with their Savior, the thought of singing for all eternity doesn't quite make it with them. Yes, the scriptures do speak about believers singing in heaven, but when we look closely, we note that it's not so much the singing that is emphasized, but who will be singing and to whom we will sing. The Christian life finds its fulfillment in the life of the world to come. As believers, we are promised that our Lord and Savior will take us home to be with himself in heaven, where we will sit around the great banquet table of the Lamb in his kingdom and eat his feast continually. This is something to sing about. Who will be singing? John describes a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Note carefully that John does not say all people from every nation, tribe, people, and language will be in heaven. He limits it to those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These robes were not white in themselves. They needed to be washed and made clean. Those who do laundry can well understand John's picture. It takes the right detergent to remove the dirt of daily wear from our clothing. And so John is speaking of dirt and detergents, but he's referring to the dirt of sin, the grease and the grime of daily life that is ground into and soils our souls, the mud and the muck of our sinful birth and sinful flesh and sinful life, dresses every human being for hell. Jesus explains how this happens in Matthew 11. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. What is the right detergent that can take our sin-stained souls and make them white and clean? The soap of our own good works can only set sin staying in instead of removing it. As the prophet Isaiah confesses, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No other detergent will do. Only Christ's precious blood can cleanse us from sin, the blood of the Lamb. Because Christ died for us, after our sins were laid on him, we are now free from sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And through the cleansing flood of baptism, we are brought to faith in Christ and covered with the white robe of Christ's righteousness. All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Only those who have had their sin-stained souls washed in his blood, that is, only believers, will be in heaven singing the glorious hymn of praise to the Lamb. Not everyone who believes in something will be in that heavenly choir, but only those who by God's grace believe in Jesus as their one and only Savior from sin. The multitude is pictured holding palm branches in their hands, a symbol of victory. These palm branches identify the multitudes as victorious ones, those who have overcome. And what is it they have overcome? They are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. While they lived in this earthly life, they wrestled against sin, against death, against the devil, endured the pain and suffering of this life. But now by God's grace, they have persevered in faith and have inherited the crown of everlasting life. They have been made permanently clean by Jesus' blood and now enjoy without ceasing that great marriage supper of the Son of God for all eternity. The closing verse of our text says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Persecution and death, famine, war, and pestilence will then forever be a thing of the past. During this life, we are part of the church militant, where we struggle constantly against sin and death and the devil. In heaven, we will join the church triumphant, no longer struggling, but participating in Christ's unending victory over those foes. What a victory celebration we have to look forward to in heaven. The verb form in Greek tells us that these multitudes are coming out of the great tribulation. This is ongoing. Day by day, this multitude is growing as additional believing children of God reach the heavenly mansions through the portals of death. In heaven, we will sing, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." To whom will we sing? To God will give the glory in heaven. Already here we sing the song of salvation, but our song is weak, our voices often faint. The full glory and blessedness of our salvation have not yet been realized. The world utters its discordant note and tries to silence the song of salvation. In heaven, throughout eternity, we will sing to our gracious saving God with all the holy angels joining in. Why sing to God? Because he will have brought us to heaven, the place where there is no more heat of trouble or tears of sorrow. Gone will be the trials and troubles that on this earth beat down upon us like the scorching rays of the desert sun, threatening to parch our faith and melt our souls. Instead, our gentle shepherd will give us all we need to be eternally blessed. The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to fountains of living waters. Why sing to God? Because he will have brought us to heaven, where he is with us constantly and where we can serve him perfectly. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. The service that the saints perform before the throne is worship service. They spend their days and nights in praise and adoration. A very important part of our divine service here on earth is the praise and adoration that we render unto God. What here below our worship in earthly sanctuaries pictures imperfectly, there our heavenly worship shall perform in supreme perfection. Here our service is interrupted by changes in our earthly existence. There no interruption shall interfere. This scene of God's elect and redeemed people enjoying the bliss of heaven was a source of encouragement to early Christians as they faced bitter persecution. It is still a source of encouragement, comfort, and hope today as we, in the sufferings of this present time, wait for the glory that will be revealed in us. Is this something to sing about? Absolutely. So let's not wait till heaven to begin. Let's start right here and now saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.